This is November 18th, and the last meeting of the year will be on December 16th, 1990, in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Good morning, Bartholomew.
Well then, good morning, my friends. And I think it's appropriate that there are lesser of you here today, and perhaps even that we don't have the visuals, because this is going to be the beginning of a series of, I don't know what we call our sharings here together, but sharings that are going to probably discourage some people from coming back. If you want to get up and walk out in the middle, go right ahead, but do it as quietly as you can. Because as we come to the ending time, the winding down of this work that we've done together, there are certain things that must be left in place before this ends. And if I might talk about it in different ways, and I will be in the months coming up talking about it in different kinds of perceptions of what we wish to leave deeply in your psyche so that you can do this inner work freely and totally without any need for assistance such as this kind of work. Now, again and again, we ask you to try to come to these meetings or the coming together without any remembrance of the past, if you can. Now, that means, as best you can, when you walk in and sit down, if you could present your psyche as open and as free of preconceived ideas as you can, then any kind of new, in quotations, information that is placed within that psyche can drift down deeply into you. If, on the other hand, you come in having decided exactly how it has to be, if you feel that you know how God is and how God works and how you have to approach it and what your way is, then I don't think these next few months and perhaps few years will be for you. Because a new information, however ancient it might be, in times of when we're speaking of cosmic understanding, is going to have time to drift into you and be absorbed within the psyche. Now, many of you are aware of the phenomena of the 100th monkey. Remember, as the story perhaps has been recorded, a little monkey learns how, just by chance, to wash something that's eating. Its mother observes it, and pretty soon all the monkeys on this island are washing their food in this particular way. Now, that's not surprising, because everybody knows that monkeys copy each other. They copy you. When you come to the zoo, you know, they do back at you what you do to them. You know, monkeys do copy. What was interesting was, of course, that it leaped to another island in Japan where the monkeys there had not been able to see on a visual basis any of this. So the idea then is that when any number of you, and I don't mean to equate you with monkeys, but it is that same kind of phenomenon, when any grouping that is like itself, that is identical to itself, such as monkeys, such as humans, such as elephants, such any groupings, whenever they begin to have deeply within them some kind of a new experience, a new, in this case, discovery, then it moves from one to the other, and then it rapidly increases. It doesn't go on a one-to-one ratio. As you know, if you've been following this work all these years, I've told you that is absolutely true, that it is not one-to-one-to-one-to-one. It goes 1 to 10, and then 10 to 100, and then 10 to 1,000, and on and on and on, in marvelous ripples outward. And it is that phenomena that we are counting on. We're counting on that phenomenon to make it possible. In one sense, we could talk about this job that we're doing together as perhaps this thing that you call Bartholomew being the first monkey. And out of that will come the 10, the 100, the 1,000. Now, the interesting thing here is that it's not only this energy that is saying this, but if you're paying close attention, many, many different kinds of perceptions are coming about, and they're coming in different ways, but they're coming to similar points. And so the phenomena is at work. Many things are exploding. Many things are dying. many kinds of approaches to consciousness that were very exciting in the beginning of the New Age, so-called, they're no longer in place. So the things that will continue and increase that say the same thing, these are the things I ask you to give attention to. To be as open to those thoughts, those new deep senses within you, even though they conflict on one level with what you have gathered as your information. Because the difficulty here is that you have gathered so much information from so many different sources that many of it crosses each other out, even though you haven't examined it on a deep level. They've crossed each other out in many ways and left you in a holding pattern. Now, what we hope to do by all of this is to drift down into your awareness some energy fields that are new, that do not have as their background anything very similar. And because of its supposed newness, we hope will get your attention. So what are we talking about? We are saying things that sound familiar to you because they happen to be true within you. For example, there is but one self. Now, that doesn't mean there's only one self in you. That means there's only one self. There's only one thing. Whatever this thing is that is God or is the divine or is the source, there's only one of it. There isn't one source, two source. There's only one of it. And however you want to talk about dividing, the truth is there's only one of it. Now, when we say that, many of you say, yes, yes, I understand, and you have some kind of a mental construct of what that is. But what we need to do, my friends, in our remaining months and years is to break down those constructs that doubt that there is but one source. And as we approach it from as many different angles as we can, I hope that you will begin to feel within you, not think, but feel within you the truth of what you're being presented with. Now, in order to have this happen, just as with the 100 monkeys, there has to be some kind of attention given to this effort. Month after month, year after year, many of you have come to this room and heard things that seemed this and that and the other, but you continue to stay, and that is your own process. Because if I could talk about this again, you are also, in your own right, the first monkey and the 100th monkey. You are trying to, within yourself, have that same phenomenon. Do you understand? You want to be that which discovers something new, something totally new, and then to begin to be within yourself the increase of that, so that you believe it to the 10th degree, and then the 20th degree, and then the 100th. Do you understand? You yourself are an ever-increasing power within this system. So, the idea is very simple. The more you allow yourself to hear and to absorb gently, quietly, without reservation, without judgment, any information that you feel might be true, even though your mind might say, I can't believe it, you'll just rest with it. In the next months and years, you are going to feel it deeply. Do you understand? It's going to be a feeling within you. You're going to, in your words, get it. You're going to come to that moment of knowing that is not separate from any other kind of deep coming to know for anyone. So the process here this morning is to just drift out into your consciousness some various basic concepts that we will begin to work with in the next months and years. Now, if it is true that there is only one source, if that is true, then we have to begin, and I hope in the months to come that you will begin to really think about these words, not as a one-month coming together, but to deeply take within you and dwell on and examine with your intellect, with your feelings, with your emotions, to dwell on some of these basic concepts, to break them down instead of being new, that they then become softer, more resilient, and more a part of you. But if there is just one source, my friends, then we have to begin to think in terms of, if there's only one source, then that source must have the same feeling tone to it, no matter what it's doing, no matter where it is, no matter what action is taking place. If there's only one source, then that source itself should feel exactly the same no matter what the activity. Now, in the Vedas, in the very, very old teachings, they bring this forward right away. And they use analogies such as, you have the basic component, which is gold, out of which you make millions and billions of shapes and sizes. But the shape and the size and the weight is immaterial. What is important is the process is that the substance is gold, and that never changes, no matter what shape you put on it. Now, taking that and then adding it deeply within you, I want you to begin to try to see if what we say could possibly be true. An example is this. If everything comes from the same place, if there is but one, everything arises from source, then whether you are feeling anger or lust or fear or bliss or jealousy or discouragement, no matter what you label what you are feeling, what we're asking you to do is to begin to look for the one similarity of feeling. That you do not have to change from fear to no fear in order to get to joy. But you think you do. Do you understand? You have fear, then you have no fear, and then you hope to go to joy. All of you are hoping somehow, in some way, some power will descend and change whatever it is you're feeling. Change whatever it is that you're experiencing. Make it different so that you can experience joy and bliss and harmony. Now, my friends, on an intellectual level alone, I ask you to look at that. You are aware of this planet, and you see the things that are happening. Your conscious mind must say to you, it doesn't look to me like there's a lot of peace, quiet, and joy just around the corner. Doesn't it disappear? I mean, given all that's going on internally, externally, this and this and this. So you have to say, oh my goodness, am I going to forget it for this lifetime and just come back another time when things have calmed down? Is this then a bad time to have taken birth on this planet because of all of this business? Well, given that nothing ever happens by chance, then we have this wonderful reality that here you are in this state, becoming aware of the various feelings that you have of anger and resentment and depression and I hope joy and hope and bliss. I hope they're all at components in there as well. So you're all here and you're stuck with what you've got. And I'm telling you that without anything changing, without God having to descend off of his throne and come into your living room, that there is already absolutely in place the simplicity of how to feel the one source. Now, you are used to judging. You begin to feel a feeling. You begin to see something coming at you. Someone is standing in front of you screaming and yelling. Their face is all contorted. And your feeling inside is, I'm in danger. This is terrible. I am under attack and I'm afraid. The minute that you begin this process deeply within you, a whole series of things that are faster than computers just immediately run through the consciousness, and you take on certain stances. And the main thing that the mind does and the emotions do is they label it. They label this anger, or they label this fear, or they label this whatever is the label. And the moment that the label is in place, then all of the mechanism around that label, having not only this lifetime, my friends, but compounding, and even if there weren't past lives, realizing that all of you compound each other, you know, so if there is fear, there is fear. So all of you adding to your wonderful, blissful moment of fear, and you all understand what that fear is, you are then in a state that is understandable to you, and it has nothing to do with God. You say, this couldn't be God because God couldn't feel like this. This could not be God because I know God feels good. Now, all right, do you see where we're going? I know that there will be resistance, but please, for those of you that really would like some loosening up around your life, stay with us for the next few months and see if something doesn't happen for you. All right, now, the idea that God feels good is probably the biggest limitation you have to finding God. I will repeat again. Your idea that God feels good is probably the greatest limitation you have to finding God. Because you understand easily the mechanism. If, indeed, something comes in and it doesn't feel good, then the answer is, well, this has got nothing to do with God. So, if this has nothing to do with God, and you are a seeker, and you want to find God, what are you going to do? You're going to move out of the moment and try to go somewhere to find God. Isn't that true? Because what's happening in the moment isn't God. Because it doesn't feel good. Now, do you understand where we have to go? If you want to be free from all of that, you have got to begin the major step today, which I pray that you do deeply. And I use those words absolutely. I pray you take these in deeply. You have got to move away from the idea that God feels good. You have to release the idea, totally, any expectation of what God feels like. You have got to leave it behind. You have got to quit thinking in terms of all of the things that you've thought in the past. Now, right here, we will state that we realize that much of our work, I think we're coming up on 13 years, is that right? All right, much of our work has in some ways reflected that God feels good. And I want to tell you, whether you see it or not, we did it on purpose. And please bear with us, because you see, there has to be a certain field of energy, of consciousness, to be able to present what we hope will be a deepening on the teaching. To have presented this at the beginning, I don't think would have been useful, because you haven't had what I would call that sweet softening that comes from years and years and years of listening and trying deeply to take in new information that is perhaps different from that which is written and so forth. So you have to have a certain field. It is our firm belief that for many of you, that field of consciousness is in place, meaning that now we will be able to drop the teaching in gently, time after time after time, that it will fall in you. You will be able to work with it, feel its feeling, know its awareness, become deeply a part of it, and it will grow within you. Remember last time we spoke in terms of having things come in a magnetic field, be attracted each to each other. Our hope is to place in you all of these beginnings, and then as we move along, make the power field stronger and stronger and stronger so that you will come to full awakening. People say, why are you leaving? You know, is it because of Mary Margaret, and is it this and this? And the answer is, when the moment is right, when enough of you have taken the stance of knower, so that you have performed what we would call the 100th monkey, then there will be no need for this, because you will do it for yourselves. You will do it for yourselves, and you will do it for the planet, and this will be not necessary. People say, are you going to announce when you're going to leave? No. Can you imagine what a nightmare that would be for Mary Margaret? No, truly. Truly. No. It will just one time, it will be there, and it will be done. It would be very, very difficult to place Mary Margaret in the emotional stance of having to sit here in front of whoever comes in order to do this. Do you understand? It would not be loving. So, whenever it happens, it will happen. But know that the moment it happens, nobody has been left. Nobody has been abandoned. Because, you know, with the sense of so many people is that they're abandoned in many different ways. This is never to be seen that way at all, please. And understand that the moment that that energy is in place and moving in that increment of power, so that the 100th monkey is in process, then it will be finished. And that will be your knowing that whatever happens, there is already on this planet dramatically in place the absolute intimate awareness of how to achieve the opening of your consciousness. It will be there. Whether the opening in your awareness is a small window, don't worry, small windows can get very large very fast. Whatever happens. So what we ask from you is to simply be willing to hear. So, let us go back again. The detriment of saying that God feels a certain way, or even looks a certain way, or sounds a certain way, places you in a situation where you're constantly assessing, you're constantly judging. Now, because you are seekers, you go into the polarity that says, I'm either feeling God or I'm not. I'm either enlightened or I'm not. Now, remember the basic teaching? The greatest obstacle to your enlightenment is the belief that you are not already enlightened. Now, what does this mean? It means that you believe that whatever you're feeling cannot possibly be God, because it doesn't meet with whatever criteria you have in your mind about how God is going to feel. Those ideas have got to be broken down again and again by you. How do we suggest you do this? First of all, just for this day, to be willing to hear the possibility that everything that you are feeling is absolutely the same. Remember, if there's only one source, it's going to feel the same. Now you say to me, I cannot believe that excruciating pain feels the same as excruciating bliss. I can't believe that. And I'm asking you not to make a mental assessment of this at this time. I'm asking you only to open the awareness that says, whatever I am feeling is God. Whatever I am feeling is God. Not translated, not thought about, not labeled. Whatever I am feeling is God. Now, you see where this takes us. This takes us into very difficult territory. Because in order to really take that stance, you have to come to the place that says, it really doesn't matter what's happening to me. It doesn't matter if I am getting things I want or getting things I don't want. It is pulling back from that level and saying, since I am here and it's all one, if I will just stay with this feeling, not trying to change it, what's going to happen in the quiet power of allowing, then something is going to be felt in a way that your judgmental ideas do not allow. You are feeling your judgments, my friends. You are not feeling the energy. You are feeling the judgment. Do you understand? You are feeling the judgment. I know this is difficult, but you are feeling your response to energy. You are not feeling the energy itself. Now, some of you who don't mind being angry realize that in the wonderful rapture of being angry, there is a certain wonderful sense of it, as long as you don't, you know, destroy your furniture, your partner, your cat, your dog, your car, you know, as long as it's just you and this energy getting angry. Now, when you're paying attention, there's a certain amount of wonder in that. There's a certain amount of, this is, now, the label coming later, oh, I was angry and I shouldn't have done this, so on, all right, that brings the gloom and the depression and so on. All of these things you know. Now, I'm asking you to just basically realize that the way home is to deeply feel whatever is happening, whatever it is, it is God. And it is no different from any other feeling that you have. Now, you can see as a world doctrine how this is going to be a flop. Because it's very obvious. For example, just on the level of car manufacturers, it doesn't matter what commodity we're talking about. If it really doesn't matter whether you're feeling despair or delight over your car, if it really doesn't matter, if there's as much potential magnificent wonder in feeling the despair over your car as the delight, you can see where all of the mechanisms of commercialism are going to be in difficulty here. And so, as I say, I don't think this is going to, you know, don't expect transformation in the next 5 years of this planet. But nevertheless, this is where it needs to go. For example, you are surrounded with dilemmas. You have before you all of these questions. You have feelings inside of you. Let's just take the situation that's going on in Iraq. All right? Now, you sit here and you say, all right, I don't think we should kill anybody over oil supply. All right? Good. I don't think we should kill anybody, period. Good. The other side of you is saying, yes, but look at what they did. They went in and they killed all these Kuwaitis, and they have destroyed and done other things. Now, this can't go on. We have to do something about it. Well, what am I going to do about it? And do you understand the turmoil? If you faced it, not just your intellectual answer, but the visceral feeling inside of you of one country just going in and destroying another, there's a feeling tone to that. And there's also a feeling tone to your country going into war, isn't there? So you were. How do you resolve these? Do you see? Now, I'm going to say something that is totally unhelpful. Totally unhelpful. But I'm going to say it, and I ask you simply to let it sift into you. What you need, my friends, truly need, is another way of doing things in your own personal life so that you don't, for example, in a lover relationship, one person says, I want this, the other says, well, I don't want us to have that, and so back you go. Now, you don't want to lose, but you don't want them to lose, and there you go. And what is the resolution? Well, you compromise, so you're both miserable, you know. So then just a little miserable, you know, that's the idea. Well, I don't know about that, but I do know that what you want is a higher solution, isn't it? You are not, you know, you are not in a blood vendetta against another country. At the same time, you do not want to have this kind of action taking place all over the globe. So you want a higher solution. What I'm telling you is, it is time for higher solutions to not only global problems, but to your problems as well. And where is that going to come from? It's going to come when you begin to just take seriously what we are beginning to bring to you, which is, when you are seated, or standing, or moving, or talking, or thinking, or whatever it is you're doing, whatever action is taking place, inside and outside, if you can just remember to think, this feeling is just like any other feeling, no better, no worse. If you'll just get the awareness that says, I'm going to feel this without label, without judgment, without idea. I'm simply going to allow it to move within me. You know, we've said this before, but now we have got to get to the motion of it as many hours of your day as you can to simply stop judging. Now, an extremely exciting thing takes place when you stop judging. You begin to realize the incredible amount of energy that you have been spending to keep your judgments in line. Do you know what a time-consuming job that is? You have to make sure everybody, you have to know who's up and who's down. You know, have to who's winning and who's losing. You always have to know where you are. Are you being smiled at? You're constantly out with your radar out here trying to assess because you believe that your safety depends on your judgments. And I am telling you that is not the truth. Your safety depends on you stopping judging to whatever extent, moment by moment. How do you stop judging? You stop it. You put something else in your awareness that says, wait a minute. Wait, that's a judgment. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. That's a judgment. Wait. Let me feel this rather than judge it. Let me feel this rather than think it. Let me just feel this. Let me feel this. And stop trying as best you can to get the world to look a certain way in response to you. When you begin to quiet down and let go and say, all right, let life happen. Let life happen. Let life happen. Then you begin to get a sense of it. But then you say, but wait a minute, I want a lot of money. And it doesn't seem to me that this is going to get me a lot of money. And to tell you the truth, I don't know if it will or not. You'll have to find out. But, you know, you never know. You just never know. There's all kind of possibilities out there. But I'll tell you what you will get. You will get, building up around you, a force field. We're only talking about force fields. You will be building around you a force field that is, if we could put it, a wonderful auxiliary engine. You see, when you take the energy off of the judging, and there's nothing left to do with this energy, it's just going to sweetly and gently begin to build. It's called non-discrimination. Terrible word, isn't it? Non-discrimination. Just the allowing of life. And it begins to build around you. And there's a relaxed softness to this. And it just begins to build, and it begins to build. And then one moment, one day, you're sitting there and you're thinking, I would just love to have some money. And there you are with your thought. And there you are with this wonderful, wonderful power base now. And you move your thought clearly through it. And the chances are you're going to have some money. Let us say that's not what you want. Whatever it is that you want. It's this wonderful, uncommitted energy that is no longer having to assess and to weigh. It just can you begin to feel it? It just sits within you and it just builds because you've taken the labels off of your life. And you just allow things. No longer are you striving for the pleasure and running from the pain. You were simply, because my friends, is that working? You know, I'm asking you very frankly, is that working? You know, one of the basic doctrines is let's move away from pain and move to pleasure. Now, I've told you and I will tell you again and yet again, left to its own motion, energy will move toward pleasure, whatever that means in your mind. It doesn't mean the same when we come to cosmic terms. You know, pleasure has a very different meaning when we get to cosmic sense of things. But nevertheless, that energy will move with a great sweet power to what I would call the potential of creativity, that wonderful power of consciousness. And it moves that way just on its own. It's a dynamic within consciousness itself. So if everything rises from the same source, if you can just remember, but it's all from the same source, so it's got to feel the same. Do you understand? If it comes from the same source, it's got to feel the same. In some way, it has to feel the same. It cannot be different from what it was begun as. It cannot. Now, all of the overlays are there. So, if you will just please, in the next weeks, before we meet again, just begin this constant process of daring to say, when things arise and they look so very polarized, you, me, like, dislike, pain, suffering, sorrow, bliss, whatever, however you work it, just move back one step and just begin to feel. Just sit. And you're going to begin to build your power. As that builds, the clarity around you is very quiet, and it's very sure, and it's very steady. And then, just arising right out of that field of consciousness, comes the desire. There is enough power now around you to manifest the desire. Why can you not manifest things you want? It's because you don't have enough power to do it. It's because your power, if I could put it this way, is tied up in other things. It's tied up in trying to weigh, in trying to assess, in past judgments, past ideas, past thoughts. It's tied up in memory traces from the past. It isn't clear and fresh. Krishnamurti has said this all the years until his death. It's the same basic thought. Right here in the now, when it is clear and without any determination of how it should be, there comes an incredible quiet knowing, and the power then is a direct effect, and you get what you want. You get what you deeply ask for. It is the power of prayer at its highest, which is taking the accumulation of undiscriminated, wonderful, non-judgmental power and energy that just waits for you to be the creator and move out into your world and create from that place of total silence. Nothing obstructs. It's wonderful. Now, it is my hope that you have many, 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 many questions. I want you, please, to understand that for some of you, this will be so foreign and so uncomfortable that you will choose not to pursue it. And I truly understand that. For example, if you have within you a desire for revenge, if you feel that somehow in this world you have been wronged, and if you still feel a tremendous need to respond back into the world in some way through that pattern, then this is going to be a very unhappy doctrine for you, because it just eliminates you as victim entirely. And there is a certain part of consciousness that very much enjoys being the victim. And I want to say something clearly here. When this was mentioned once before in our last workshop in Los Angeles, and in the bringing up of it, one person said, "It sounds to me like when you stop judging, you're going to be bored." Now, I want to tell you something, my friends. I am not saying that you have to stop feeling. I say you have to stop judging your feeling. That is a tremendous difference. It is very true that if you were to stop feeling, you would be bored. In fact, you would be so bored, you would probably decide to quit this planet. I mean, what is the point of being here if you are not feeling? What is the point of having a feeling apparatus if it's not being used? I mean, it's absolutely foolish. It's like going to a car race and, you know, not taking the car, just sitting on the asphalt. It's not the same thing. It's just not the same thing. But the wonder is that these bodies you have, this whole equipment, not just the body, but the emotional field, the mental field, they are absolutely suited for wondrous feeling tone, feeling, thundering through you, life pulsating, wondrous, expansive, creative, dynamic. That is feeling. People say to me, "I don't feel anything." I say, "Oh, yes, you do." There is no one who doesn't feel. Now, I will agree that there are some areas of your life that you choose not to feel. Yes, I absolutely agree with that. There are great areas of your life that say, "Oh no, I don't want to feel that one. Oh no, I don't want to feel that one." You know, and they stay at a distance. And I understand that. But I will tell you, my friends, however you think that you are not feeling, you are feeling. How do I know? I can see it. It's clear. You are all feeling. You will always be. That is what the body does. It feels. Do you have a body? Then you're feeling. Now, if there's someone here without a body, then we could have a question here. But that is the whole apparatus of this wonderful thing called human life. And the dynamic power is incredible. But you have got to take your labels off. You have got to stop labeling what you're feeling. Quit analyzing, going through your mind. Oh my God, is this God or is this the devil? Or you don't do that anymore. But now is it, what would we say now? Is this, oh, who knows? There are always new ways. Always new ways to talk about the polarity between what feels good and what doesn't. So I'm asking yet again, this is just another bringing up, I hope in a deeper way, to just ask you to realize what the entrapment is. The entrapment, because my friends, if you're going to be logical, you're going to realize you cannot set up your love affair so that there will never be any anger, resentment, jealousy in it. How are you going to do that? How are you going to do that? In order to do that, you will all have to be fully and totally enlightened. But you see, the way you have the game set up is that you can't get enlightened until you quit feeling anger, frustration, jealousy, and self-pity. Do you see? You are locked in on all sides if you continue the same road. So let's break away. Let's break away from the road. Let's begin. What we hope is a deep knowing on the feeling, visceral level of your awareness, that you've got to stop the label. You've just got to go with the feeling, deeply, 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 moment after moment. As you begin to do this, you will begin to relax. You will begin to stop trying so hard. You will begin to realize that whatever the world presents to you, there is absolutely the same potential for the feeling of the source of consciousness, that which is that out of which everything arises. There is but one self. There is but one. There is no separation. There is no separation. All separations are illusory. That is a teaching that goes back through the Vedas, continues up through Buddhism, moves again through people like Ramana, and comes again through Krishnamurti, and here we are. It's the way it is. It's the way it is. Now, you will have to please begin the conscious desire to experience that so that you can stop trying to control the uncontrollable. You see, the idea that you can control your environment is valid in the sense that if you have enough power, you can control your environment. And it's true. For example, that wonderful, wonderful story of Ram Dass, who goes to his guru in India and hands him a whole sheet of LSD, a whole sheet. I understand they are sheets and then they're little. Well, the whole sheet, which is 100 sheets, I don't know how many, whatever, whatevers. And then the guru says, give it to me, and he takes it and nothing happens. Nothing happens. Well, what would happen to you? You see, if you have enough power, you can do that. If you don't have enough power, you can't do that. And so please don't presume things before your time. Because you're going to have to... Well, the difficulty is you're going to have to wait. How are you going to acquire the power? Those of you who have studied Huna, and many of you in this room have, how are you going to get your mana? In the Indian tradition, how are you going to get your prana? How are you going to get your life? How are you going to build it? How are you going to build it? Because it's that building of that force. And you can't do it with mentalization. You can't do it with just speech. You can't do it with hope. You have to do it simply by using whatever energy you have to simply take it off of all of your incredible storylines, all of the things that you have held so sacred, all of the ideas you have about who's right and who's wrong, how things should be, and just simply and gently, as best you can, move away and just begin to feel inside yourself, whatever's here is God. Whatever is here is God. And to begin to be silently aware of that, day after day, after week, after month, the silent awareness of it. It is a tremendous relief to no longer believe that you have to somehow create a loving universe for you to feel loving. How are you going to create a loving universe in the next 5 years? Those of you who speculate on this planet and say, well, there will be a time when the golden man is here, I say, do you want to wait? Do you want to wait? Is that what this is all about? Coming back lifetime after lifetime? Haven't you done that enough? So the way out has to be now. It has to be now. Now, someone said to Mary Margaret, and I think it's a good way to talk about it, maybe some of humanity is ready to play a vaster game, ready to move away from the game of duality and good and bad and feels good, feels bad, and move out into a greater game, a vaster game that doesn't have all of that residue to it. I hope enough of you find that interesting, because there is the potentiality for that. There is the potential to begin to expand. You talk all the time in your New Age literature about the expansion of consciousness. And right here is what we're talking about. You have played the positive-negative game, I think, as about as far as it can go. Because, you see, if you look at your choices in life, they are very, 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 very small. And you move one way or the other, and society comes up with a clobber, and there you are, and you're dead, and that's it, and that's that, and you're wrong, and you should be punished, and this is how we're going to punish you, and it's all very clear. Now, that is positive, negative. That is good, bad. That is up, down. Now, that is the game, but there is ample opportunity for other ones. Magnificent, abundant opportunity to move out of, away from, and drop that and begin to stretch your consciousness. Growth of consciousness means stretching, means expansion, vaster. And just outside of all of those limits, just waiting, hovering, just dying for you to get there, is this other magnificent part of the source. It's just waiting. And if enough of you begin to start reaching, to move out of the old and begin to yearn, to taste, wouldn't it feel wonderful to know that it didn't matter what was happening in your life, you could feel that deep throbbing wonder of source, of self, of God? Would not that be a relief? I'm asking. To not have to contrive, control, to manipulate, to just be able to say, it doesn't matter what happens because it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because it's the same. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And many, many hundreds of thousands of thousands of thousands of you have reached that point. How else can we have a wonderful Zen monk sitting there? He gets beat up. He says, oh, right, that's it. He sits out under the moon. He says, all right, that's it. Somebody gives him a thousand, what, yen? He says, that's it. Do you see that sense of it's all right, it's all right? That wonderful liberation from determination, of determining things all the time. And that is the kind of thing we'd like to offer you. Now, those of you who are not interested, I would suggest you just don't bother to come back, because as best we can, we're going to try to deepen this process with you. And if you can understand that the joy of it is that it is available, and it is available to you now, there is nothing that you have to do except to just sit here and be who you are. You know, you talk a lot about being. You know, there's a lot of talk about, well, just be. Isn't that a little insulting to you? Somebody, you're having this problem, someone comes up, oh, just be. Yes, just be. Well, obviously, if you had the capacity in the moment to just be, which means not to be angry, not to be hurt, not to be disappointed, not to be whatever, but just to be whatever that means, of course you would be doing it. But you see, my friends, the joke is that you are doing it. Again and again, you are doing it. It's just that the camouflage has convinced you, and so you're so busy labeling the camouflage that you have forgotten. You have truly forgotten the full-blown feeling of life. And it's simply now a matter of quietly dropping back, quietly doing every moment as best you can. No words, no thoughts, no ideas, no visualizations. Just do it. Oh, moment after moment, just do it. Now, does that mean that all of the other things that you do should be set aside? Of course not. Some of you are involved in some very exciting, dynamic ways to approach creation of reality, finding out who you are, health work, mental health, all of it. It's marvelous. It's magnificent, and it's all part of the whole. I'm simply asking if you can, as you are doing that, to drift back to the remembrance moment after moment that it's all the same. That somehow it all feels the same. Someone who is filled with grief over the loss of a child would find this doctrine very offensive. And I understand that. Someone filled with physical pain and the fear of death would find this very offensive. I understand that. I ask you to remember, it has never been and will never be the intention of this energy to in any way harm. We simply are trying to present a way to expand past the situations that your life has given you. There is such a thing as event causes event causes event. In the deepest sense of the word, that is not true. But from your limited awareness, it is very true. We do not wish to insult you in any way. Just simply ask for your cooperation as many months as you can and see if you cannot begin to build deeply within you that which has been called unconditional love. What does unconditional love mean? It means that it doesn't matter what passes before it, it responds to it exactly in the same way. There are no conditions for this love. It doesn't matter what passes in view, it has the same response to it. It has the same response. Unconditional love. That's what this is all about. We put the label love on it, it becomes more difficult. I don't use it a lot because of the ideas in the mind, but that is precisely where we have to end. That marvelous unconditional love. No matter what is being done to you, there is that knowing inside, not a machination of, oh well, this is really unconditional love, although it feels terrible. It's just present. And what is it that is present? It is a feeling. It is an energy field. It is the still, silent, deep self. It is the deep, deep reaches of the self that are constantly, constantly alive in you. And that is what we want. Love does not wait to just have pleasing things outside of it to love. Love loves. Regardless. Regardless. It is that power. It is that power that you will be building when you softly and gently remove your judgments and allow yourself to simply feel. Stay in the moment and feel. I would like to thank you all for coming. Those of you that would like to, we will have a meditation.